2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you were not here last week, this buttons with last week's lesson. We're talking about the battle of the mind. Chapter 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As we said last week, it was very popular to war against the devil. But when you go to the scripture, there isn't any scripture that connects the word war or warfare with the devil. It is not in the Bible. It is not in there. The word war and warfare are always connected with the mind and the flesh. The battle is the mind and the flesh. Now, devil will try to influence your mind, but if you are full of the Word of God and your mind's been renewed and you hold steadfast, unmovable, abounding in what God has said in the power of the Spirit, then he's not going to be able to be successful against your mind. But the battle here and the war here, like in several other scriptures, is not with the devil. The devil has been defeated. You couldn't win if you battled him. I don't know how that idea ever came to pass. And there was a time when they even said if you prayed from a higher platform, and they actually meant physically prayed, and they would rent airplanes and get up higher because he's the prince of the power of the air, so we want to get up there face to face above him. You can't conquer the devil by physical maneuverings. You're not supposed to conquer him anyway. If you could have conquered him, Jesus didn't have to come. He came because of your inept, because we were inept, because we were sinners, because we were trapped and captured. And he came to defeat the devil. And he left us an occupational force to enforce the victory that he won. He won the victory, and he wanted us to enforce that victory. One minister said this way. He said, Jesus came and put Satan in prison, gave you the key, said, now keep him there. And I like that because it ministers to me. It helps us understand that we are an occupational force. We're simply enforcing the work that Jesus did. Now, the devil comes against your mind. The battle is in your mind. The battle is in you. The problem is not the devil. Are you ready for this? You got your seatbelts fastened? The problem is you. Yeah, that's right. You are the problem. And if you didn't have a problem, the devil wouldn't make any inroads. But he all bumps up against all of us at one time or another. Now, it says we don't war after the flesh. That means there are some weapons that don't work. I told you last week there was a policeman. There was a kidnap situation, and the man who had the lady captive was standing at a good distance. He pulled his revolver, and the other policeman said, you might as well put it out back. You can't reach that from here. It just wouldn't go the distance. They needed a different weapon. That weapon wouldn't work in that situation. Well, weapons of the flesh won't work. They will not work. You can use them, but you can know you have doomed yourself to defeat. There are some things that are not going to work, and that's what he says. Now, you'll say, the weapons of war are not carnal. The word carnal always means of the flesh. We're dealing with the flesh and the mind, the physical body called flesh or members or body, and the mind called the soul being the mind, will, and the emotions. Now, look at verse 5. Cast down imaginations. That's the word reasonings. If imaginations or reasoning would work, we wouldn't be told to cast them down. We're told to cast them down because your ability to figure out your situation or the situation of a friend is not going to work. You cannot figure out God. You cannot figure out your dilemma. You have to depend on the Holy Ghost who dwells inside. He is the power of God inside. He's the teacher of the church. He's the one that guides you into all truth. There's three avenues of truth. The truth about God, the truth about the devil, and truth about you. Truth about God's real simple. God's a good God. The truth about the devil is real simple. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's the truth about me that's the problem. Because sometimes I'm not a recipient. I'm just not a receptive vessel. Did that happen to you? I just don't want to hear it. I mean, you have those days? I just said, why not? I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. And then you have to repent. I hope you repent. I'm a great repenter. But look, he said, cast down imaginations, and that's the word reasoning, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's contrary to what God has said has to be eliminated from your mind because it will trip you, trap you, and cause disaster. He said, if it's against the knowledge of God, if it's not what God is saying, get rid of it because that weapon will not work. One fella, he was a hunter, I guess, he said, that dog won't hunt. And reasonings just won't work. I went with Wayne hunting one time. Thought, shoo, never do that again. But I was fascinated by the bird dogs. phenomenally trained animals. They'd sneak up. You didn't see anything. You didn't hear anything. And all of a sudden, they're at a standstill, and they're in a pointed position. And you know, in spite of the fact that you didn't see anything, you didn't hear anything, there's something under that bush. And when you gave them the signal, those birds would fly up, and then you could shoot them if you're into shooting birds, which I'm not into shooting birds. And I'm certainly not into tramping across the field to find a bird that I'm not going to shoot. I found that out about me real quick. I'm not into that. But you know, the work of God and the workings of God sometimes is under a bush. That's why we pray for revelation. That's why, in spite of what we see, God is there. God is there. You may see something different than what you'd like to see, but God is there. He is your Father. He is there. He said, get my idea. The Old Testament says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my plans are not your plans. So ditch your plan, ditch your thought, and get God's thought. It's God's thought, and God's plan is going to bring you out. It's going to bring you to victory. It's going to tell you how, not how to defeat Satan. You're not trying to defeat him. How to occupy, how to protect your mind and crucify your flesh so that Satan, when he comes against you, finds you standing. The scripture says, having done all. What is that? Having done all. Having done all. There's some things that you can do. That mind, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You wouldn't have to take a thought captive if it was a good thought. Isn't that right? If it was a godly thought, if it was a scriptural thought, if it was a spiritual thought, you take it captive because it's of the flesh. It's of the mind that's unrenewed. Your mind can be renewed in God or unrenewed, and it's partially both. There are some areas that you need to work on your mind, that I need to work on my mind. Some things, some thoughts, it's like programming a computer or putting something in a file. We went yesterday, was it yesterday? I think so, and got some bigger file containers Suzanne wanted. To put some things together, to refile some things. Well, I never can find anything in that file because I don't know how she does it. I'm looking for an invoice one day, and I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it. I looked under the name of the company. I looked under credit cards. We charge everything, pay every bill at the end of the month. We never roll anything over a month. And I thought, well, it's under credit card. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it. Finally, I called, humbled myself, and I said, I can't find. I need this invoice. She says, it's under P. I thought for a minute. I said, why is it under P? She said, for paid. What? Oh, right. Right. P for paid. All the paid invoices are under P for paid. I got it. Well, that was a mystery to me. It was hidden under that bush. It's like there's birds under the bush. There was information under the bush. Get God's thought. Get under that bush. Crawl under that bush. Find out what God is saying. Ditch your thought. Ditch your idea. It's not going to work anyway. I don't know why we would cling to something that's not going to work. Lady called me and she said, have you ever made this frosting? She was making a cake. And I said, well, years ago. My mother used that recipe all the time. That was one of her favorites. She said, is this confectioner's sugar or granulated sugar? And I thought and thought, you know, the truth is I can't remember. I said, I just don't remember. So about 30 minutes later, she called me back and she said, it's not confectioner's sugar. She made the wrong choice. I wish she'd have told me she was going to try confectioner's sugar, because I was pretty certain it would be granulated sugar in that recipe. I could have told her, start with granulated sugar, but I didn't give her any advice, and so I helped her make a misstep. You know, friends are wonderful, wonderful people to keep you in the center of the Word, to not let you go down the tube and entertain some thought that's going to destroy you, to say, can I help you? Can I give you a hint? Can I say something? Would you be offended if I said something? Have you ever thought about, have you ever considered, would it be a good thing? Maybe if we kind of, you know, at the least you can say, you know, maybe if you don't move too fast, if you keep praying about this, slow them down if you can't rechannel them. And that's what Christian friends in the community of Christ is for. Well, he says, cast down some reasonings. Why? You never overcome. Wrong weapon. Cast down thoughts that are not God. Wrong weapon. You know, I'm not a hunter. I don't know why you'd be a hunter. But I'm not opposed to you being a hunter if I don't have to be one. And one fellow was telling me about bow hunting. He didn't like bow hunting. He's a gun hunter. He didn't like bows. He said, it occurs to me that that's why the Indians lost. And I said, right, right, makes sense to me. Go with the gun. Because a bow takes great skill. It has to be hit the right target. But there's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside, working on the outside, someone on the inside, someone on the inside guiding me into truth, someone on the inside showing me the way of God, someone on the inside that knows my ineptitude. If I would just admit my ineptitude and just say, I don't know. I teach Bible classes and a lot of Bible schools and so forth, and the first thing I want the students to know is you don't have to answer every question. You are not brilliant, and you're free to say, I don't know, God didn't say. Like, where'd Cain get his wife? I said, I don't know, God didn't say. They're all asking you something that's not in the scripture. I said, I don't know, God didn't say. I don't know. Smartest thing you can ever do is admit that you don't know and say, God, I don't know. But there's someone on the inside that'll guide you into God's thoughts, that'll help you recognize. Now look at Hebrews 4. Help you recognize a thought that's not God. A plan that's not God. A reasoning, an imagination, a thought that needs to be taken captive. If you know why you would take a thought captive? Because you do not want it to escape. You do not want it to expand. You do not want it to continue to do damage. Hebrews 4. Verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. You see the word of the living God, this word that God has given, this is what God has said, will divide the soul and the spirit. Now, the soul and the spirit, the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit of man, which is born again, are designed to work together. But because the soul is being saved or being renewed or being restored as you grow up in God, sometimes the soul has ideas and concepts that need to be taken captive. But it is through the Word of God that you're going to recognize, and it's as the Spirit of God deals with you through the Word of God that you're going to recognize a thought that needs to be taken captive, a thought that needs to be cast down, a reasoning that's not going to work for you, a weapon that's going to do damage, that's not going to bring you to victory. And it is the word that can divide the soul, help you to see this idea that's in the soul, get rid of that one, and to merge the spirit of soul together again with an idea and a plan that's truly of God. And that's the job. So we're dependent upon the word. Now look at Romans 7, verse 23. And I thought we were at war with the devil, where we're not. I see another law in my members, which is the body, warring against the law of my mind. Now, where is the war? It's between my mind and my flesh, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There's the war. The members, the body, the law of sin, because the body is not redeemed. It has to be crucified. That was instructions of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit. The war is between the mind and the thoughts that the mind have and the concept that the flesh had. That means if the mind has a godly thought, there's part of this mind that's being renewed. And the renewed mind, the mind with the concept and plan of God, is fighting against the flesh because the flesh never has the mind of God. I said the flesh never has the mind of God. It's always going to lead you astray. And so here's the war, my mind and my body warring. Look at 1 Peter where it's mentioned again. Chapter 2, verse 11. Interesting that he starts, dearly beloved. That's how come we know he's writing to the church. He's writing to the Christians. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Talking about the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, the battle between the flesh and the soul. That's where the war is. Now let me show you Satan's part. Look at Genesis chapter 3. You're going to protect your mind with the Word of God. You're going to get in your mind from your spirit. The spirit brings revelation to the mind, the plan of God. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. When something's subtle, it's sneaky, it's crafty, it's deceptive. Now if you're deceived, you think you have the truth. You've embraced a lie, but you think that lie is true. If I tell you a lie and you know it's a lie, you're not deceived. But if I tell you a lie and you think it's the truth, then you're deceived. And that's what the devil does. He's subtle, he's deceptive, he's crafty. He said to the woman, hath God said, the challenge is to her mind. Do you remember what God said? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree was in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, verse 5 is very interesting because it's partly true and partly false. It's the deception of the enemy. You know, most of us, we grow up in God. If the Satan came along and told an outright lie, because you're growing in God and you have the Spirit of God on the inside, you've embraced the teacher of the church and you meditate day and night and you're a doer of the word, not a hearer only, you would recognize just a black lie. But see, he told her, your eyes will be opened. Adam and Eve lived in the Spirit and they're functioning in the Spirit. When their eyes opened, their physical eyes opened, so they're going to see the physical world in a new dimension. They're going to be trapped and see for the first time the difference in good and evil. They could not see that before. Now look at verse 7, you'll see that. The eyes of them both were open and they knew they were naked. They'd been naked all that time, but because they lived in the Spirit with spiritual vision, they didn't know it. So when devil said, your eyes will be open, that sounded like a good thing to them, but actually it brought disaster. And it wasn't a lie he told, it was a shade of truth. One lady told me she'd witnessed to her coworker. Coworker's not interested in God. She's definitely not interested in the devil. She doesn't want anything to do with God or the devil. She wants to stand in the middle in some gray area. I'm going to tell you, if you're not standing with God, there isn't any gray area. The devil comes along. The gray area that was created here, he created. He creates gray because he can get you into gray. He can get you into black. And it's a trick. It's a trick. Now, if you look over later in this chapter, verse 22, he said, your eyes will be open. You'll know good from evil. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. So it wasn't all a lie that he told. It was just the way he said it. You know, sometimes if we're going to apologize and we just want to come flat out and say, I was wrong, please forgive me. We create a story that makes us seem less guilty. You don't have to admit that. I just happen to know that's true. Well, that's what the devil did. Created this whole gray area to slide them. Now, here's what he wants to do. He wants to challenge her mind, M-I-N-D, mind, and get her into the F-L-E-S-H, flesh, and then he can defeat her. That's exactly what he did. He challenged her mind. Do you remember what God said? Well, if you read chapter 2, the indication there is that she wasn't there when God said it. She must have got the word from Adam. Now, I don't know if Adam made it clear to her or not. We do not know. God did not say. We do not guess. If you want some guesswork, do not deal with a teacher, because teachers deal word by word, comma by comma, and that's what I am. And I don't know why she didn't have it clear in her thinking or why she let the word slide so quickly. But he challenged her mind. That's what he still does today. To challenge your mind, to get you to deal with the flesh, to pull from your flesh, and with the mind and with the flesh, he can tramp you underfoot. Now look, chapter 3, verse 6. He challenged her mind. There's no record that God said you couldn't touch the tree. If God said that, we don't know it. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw. He got her into the physical senses. He got her to pull from her flesh. That's what he wanted all the time. Your flesh will defeat you every time. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And of course, with that, their spirit died and was separated from God. And they needed then to be redeemed. The woman saw. Now there are three arenas of temptation that are mentioned in the scripture more than once. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. The first you see here, the devil operates the same way all the time, every time. He is not new. The scripture says we're not ignorant of his devices. We know him. We recognize him. He's going to come to your mind. If he can't shake your mind, he can't shake you. But he does. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What they say? How are you going to handle that? Are you afraid? Same thing he says to everybody all the time. Here's the lust of the flesh, tree was good for food. One little friend I know says, flesh likes, flesh likes. He wants you to get over there and use your flesh, because the scripture says flesh profits nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. How much is nothing? But there's someone on the inside, God on the inside, that'll come out if you give him an avenue. And he'll renew your mind, and he'll give you the right thoughts and the right plan to think. If you hold fast to those thoughts, you begin to meditate in those thoughts. You begin to station your mind to stand fast. You know, when the scripture says stand fast, it's not talking about standing fast physically. Just don't move. That's what stand fast means. It means don't move, don't move, don't move. It's talking about don't move in your faith. Don't move in your spirit. Don't move in your mind. Get God's thought and hold it and do not turn loose. I was helping Ashley drive the other day. She's got her learner's permit. How exciting. I'm the one member of our family that does better with new drivers. Because I run over a lot of curbs myself, so I'm not too moved by when you run over a curb, just get back in the road. I'm not too moved. But when it comes to dealing with the devil who challenges your mind, the battle is the mind. It's your mind. It's you are the problem. And if you would get God's thought and hold fast to God's thought, and when the devil comes, you can stay in the center of the road. Now, what if Eve had said, hath God said? She said, we're not eat of the tree of the middle of the garden. Not eating of that tree. And he had said, well, it'll make you wise. I'm sorry, I'm not eating. Well, can't you see? It'll help you to see good and evil. I'm not eating it. She didn't stand. Her knees buckled. Her mind buckled. And she began to look. Good looking tree. Here was the problem. I had very close to nervous breakdown in my 20s. When I teach like this, people say, well, you wouldn't really understand. And I want to very kindly say, I don't know if you understand or not, but I know I do. I've been there. And I'm as whole and as sound as anybody you'll ever talk to. But I had to learn how to walk beyond Satan's challenge. And I'm going to help you. Now, it was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. Pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. That's pride of life. And turn to 1 John. Let me read these to you. Because I didn't make those up. I got them from God right here. Chapter 2, 1 John. I saw something this morning. I was reading the scripture again. Just to refresh my memory. My, I have had a week. I'm just telling you, I have had a week. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, all that is in the world, all that is, you got that part? We're talking about the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Is not of the Father. Is not of the Father. What a clue that is. I saw that as if it had been in big print this morning, but is of the world. This is exactly where Eve fell. These same three temptations, all the way over here in 1 John, centuries later, this is how the world and the devil function. Now the flesh always says, do you see that? Do you hear that? It puts you in the realm of the physical senses. And that is the realm of defeat. It's the wrong weapon. Do you see that? You know, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you think you hear something, you might as well get control of yourself, because Wayne is not going to help you. We've been married 44 years. And if I finally can't stand it any longer, and I say, Wayne, Wayne. First of all, he's very hard to wake up. If you finally get him awake, he'll say, what? Do you hear that? No. And I wait 5 minutes. If I can't stand it and it goes again, I said, there it is. You hear that? He's just not listening. His mind is steadfast and unmovable. And that's what God wants you to do. Get God's thought, cast down anything that's not in the scripture, and be steadfast and unmovable. Say, no, 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 God said not eat of that tree. And no matter what he might, no, I'm not eating of that tree. No, God said don't eat of that tree. No, I'm not eating of that tree. I don't care how. No, I'm not eating. I'm not eating. I'm not eating. I'm not. No, 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 no. You know the devil understands no, but you have to repeat it. Now look at the temptation of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Steadfast, unmovable, abounding. You're like me. I would like to never have any mental trauma again. But when they call me and say, I look at my phone, it has the name of my father's housing facility, I go, oh, now what? Almost begin to tremble. Suzanne answered the phone. She could see it's somebody from the place. And she says, okay, Mother, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. She's aiding me to be steadfast and unmovable. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit to the wilderness. Look at verse 3. The devil said, when I was in Kenya, because I don't speak any of the Kenyan languages. Most of them speak very good English. But the little kids' choir was singing, and they're singing Swahili. I don't have a clue what they were singing, but my interpreter elbowed me, and she said, you know that song? I said, no, ma'am. She said, that song says, if the devil phones, don't answer. I love that. Why are you talking to him? You're not supposed to be talking to him. First of all, he's a liar and the father of lies. You're not going to get any truth from him. Hang up. You know, you may have to say to somebody, have to go now. Click. I'm real speedy. Lady came to the door from one of the cultic organizations. She's going to talk me out of Jesus. She came to the wrong place. I figured out how to handle that. I am very polite. I'm very nice. You can't curse people. You have to be a blessing. And she gave me this spiel about the family, which I could agree with. And I said, I agree with that. And since we're in agreement, now let's pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And when I opened my eyes, so help me, she was gone. Just pray. Just pray. Be steadfast. You're a Christian. You're God's kid. He said, if you be son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. This is lust of the flesh. You need something to eat. You need to eat. You need to eat. You need to eat. Didn't your body say it all the time? Somebody called, I think it was my son, and said, do you know the 5 reasons people eat too much? I said, there's 5 reasons people eat too much? He gave me reason 1, and I thought, no, that's not me. He gave me reason 2, and I said, okay, I'm not going to need reason 3, 4, and 5. Reason 2 worked for me. I recognize. Lust of the flesh. This is the same devil that talked to Eve, that talked to Jesus, that talks to you and said, do you see that? Do you hear that? My, you'd love that, wouldn't you? You know, we give the devil too much credit. He didn't have to tell you to eat a second piece of pie. Why would he waste his time? You were going to do that anyway. He can go on to somebody else that needs some temptation. You didn't need any. You were going to have to. Somebody asked him, what is it if you would just eat, 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 and you could just eat till it came out of your ears? And I thought and thought. They said, cake. I said, oh, no, not cake. You got to be kidding. Pie. I said, no, not pie. Mm-mm. You know me, I'm a lemon person. They named a bunch of other things, and I said, ice cream. No, I'm not really an ice cream person. They said, what is it you would just overeat? And I said, it's olives. Could eat the whole jar. And my body always says, have another one, have another one, have 2, have 3, have 4, have 5. Oh, go ahead, have some more. It's olives. God is so good. I'm not doing this with willpower, bulldog tenacity. I know what to do. And I'm dependent upon the Spirit to help me to do it. I know the problem's me. The problem's in my mind. I've told Jovi, if you come every week, you know all my stories. I just repeat them like you never heard them. But our neighbor was in and out of mental institutions when I was growing up as a girl. And when she was home, she caused trouble, always during the night. And you could hear her hollering and cursing, and her big thing was to slam cabinet doors in the kitchen. Well, her kitchen was next to our bedroom, very narrow lots, and deep but narrow, and so her kitchen cabinets always slammed over your bed at night, you know, blam, 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 blam. And then she'd holler, blam, 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 blam. Well, my daddy's seeking a solution. See, if you have a trauma, there's a solution. There's a Holy Ghost solution. There's a God solution. So I grew up, we always played music, Christian music, all night long. I grew up. We went to bed. Daddy turned the radio on. The radio played all night long. I thought the whole world did that. I didn't have a clue that people went to bed in the silence. And when I got married, the first night we got married, I turned on the radio. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to bed. See, God has an answer for you. If you'd quit thinking about it, quit pondering, go to the Spirit and say, what's the answer? That's very simple, but that was always our answer. Play the radio. It was the answer. What's your answer? Well, I don't know. I'm not brilliant. But there's someone on the inside. Someone on the inside working on the outside. Someone with an answer. Okay, it's God. God the Holy Ghost. Then he said, the devil taking him up to a high mountain showed. You see that word showed him? Look at that. Do you see that? Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give those kingdoms to you. That's lust of the eyes. And then he, verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself from hence. And the devil said, I love the devil quoting scripture. I just say, you give that scripture back to me in Jesus' name. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. See, the devil's deceptive. It sounds good if it's a scripture. But he's using that scripture to get you to kill yourself. Is that right? No. You know what that is? Pride of life. It says, you cast yourself off this temple and the angels catch you. What a sensation you would be. That'll make all the headlines. It'll be on Facebook. It'll be across all the computers. You will be somebody. Said, did you hear about the man that jumped off the temple and was caught by angels? It won't be any time. He's appealing to his ego and to his pride. He appeals to your flesh. He appeals to your vision. And he always appeals to your pride. And that's what he did to Eve. That's what John said he's still doing. Those are the three avenues. But he has to come through your mind and through your flesh. He has to come with, did God say? You know, some people are good with details and some are not good with details. I have one day I'm going to teach a lesson to men, M-E-N, men. Because I have something in my heart. I don't know how God will birth this because I never teach men unless it's a... Anyway, that just doesn't happen very often. About rebuking your helpmate. The women get rebuked a lot, but their job is to fill in the gap for men and to do the things that men can't do or forget to do or short in. And that's why they were made. That was your job. That's your responsibility. And it is wrong for a man to rebuke you for doing your job. Now, one thing I do for Wayne is he's very poor with details. I mean, if you ask Wayne, what'd they say? It was good. And I don't care how you ask that question, how many times you ask it. I said, boy, she's smiling. I guess. And Suzanne is a copy of her daddy. She is her daddy. And we're in the office, and I'm so excited something's come off the press. I says, it looks really, oh, I love it. I just love it. It's just perfect. It's just perfect. The color's right. The picture was a good choice. The margins are good. And she always says, yeah, it looks good. Do you see how Jesus won? He didn't win by talking to a friend or a neighbor. He said, it is written. Because it is the written word that divides the spirit and the soul. The spirit and soul are joined together. The spirit is redeemed, renewed, created new, and the soul is being renewed through the word of God by the spirit. So they're to join together, to work together. They join forces in order to overcome the flesh. Two out of three, you know, if you got your spirit and soul going together, your flesh doesn't stand a chance. But it is the word that's the power of God. It's your primary and your first weapon. Now look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's the word. It's the word. Most people can't win because they don't know what God said. And if they knew what God said, they wouldn't hold fast to it over 5 minutes of time. Ephesians chapter 6, in this wonderful armor that God has given. Now, the word in verse 12 we covered last week is wrestle. It's not war. The word wrestle means to vibrate or shake. That's its historical root. And the devil comes to wrestle. You are not at war with the devil. He's at war with you. That makes a tremendous difference. And he comes to wrestle or to shake or to vibrate the truth, to deceive you, to vibrate the truth out. He comes to shake you until you receive his idea and turn loose to God's idea. That's his job. He's good at it. But you see, you have, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All of those other pieces of the armor are defensive. They're protective. You have your loins girt. You have on your breastplate. You have your shield there to protect you. But you have the word of God. And the word of God is more than protection. It is protection because you're girded with truth. And the truth is in the word. But it's more than protection. It's a sword. And this is a two-edged sword. That means it's sharp on both sides. I don't know if you know. You know, I have a family that's deep into trivia, I call it. That in times of war, more left-handers live and more right-handers die. Do you know why that is? I happen to know that. Because if you're right-handed, most everybody is right-handed, and you're going to stab them like this. And they're going to know you're coming like that. They're going to expect you to come like that. But if you're left-handed, to their surprise, you're going to go like that. And you're going to get them. But this is a two-edged sword. That's why I told you that. It works either way. Word of God works in all directions. Inside, upside, downside. We used to sing that song. How'd that go? Upright, in right, down right, out right, happy all the time. That how it went? I'm happy. Happy all the time. Now, 1 Corinthians. We're going to read about four verses quick. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news. It's the word of God. I'm telling you the word. I'm fixing to tell you the word, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. When you take that weaponry in Ephesians 6, it says stand three times and withstand, which is the Greek word to resist, once. It says stand. And stand, and having done all, stand. You're to stand with the gospel. Stand with the word. Stand with the good news. That's what Jesus did. He said, no, it is written. He didn't pay attention to what Satan said. No, it is written. It is written. He knew what God said. Look at chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye. That's be alert. Be on your toes. Be watching. Like you would a little kid if somebody left you their one-year-old or their two-year-old to watch. You wouldn't take your eyes off of them. Stand fast, how in faith? Well, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Once God brings us back, we're going to stand fast in the gospel. We're going to stand fast by faith. Both of them, direct references to standing in the word of God. Having done all to stand. That's the commission. We're going to stand with the word. What does the word do? And it protects your mind. It helps you to overcome. Now let's read again. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Where does faith come from? It comes from the word. We're going to stand by faith. The devil comes, we're standing. There are two words used in Scripture for stand. One's to stand upright and active. It's used in opposition of being horizontal or being laying down. You're to be standing. You're to be on your feet. You're to be on your feet with the word of God in your mouth. You're to be ready. You know he comes. You know he's going to try to shake you up. You know he's going to give you a thought that's not God, a thought you're going to have to discard and take captive. And you are ready. You are ready. By faith you stand. Look, 1 Thessalonians 3:8. Paul said, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. This is a different word, stand. It means to be stationary. Anchored. We have all of those Christmas houses we bought over the years. We used to collect them, have a good number. Have a whole shelf, they're very heavy, attached to one wall. They're at that spot because the light switch turns them all on. You don't have to turn them on individually. That's the only switch we've got in the house that'll do that. But we had to anchor that, bolt that shelf because of the weight and because of the fragility of the houses. We bolted that to the wall so that it was stationary. And somebody wanted to move that, said, "It'll shift this a little bit." I said, "You ain't shifting that because it's bolted." And he says, "Bolt yourself to my word. Bolt yourself to my word and stand fast." I say, "I am not moving. I am not afraid. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. I have power. I have power. I have power. Power, power, wonder working power in the blood." You know, the first time I cast out a devil, I didn't know exactly what to do. I knew that's the devil. I know we got to do something. This lady came. She's at the back of a meeting I was doing, creating all kinds of ruckus, and I ignored her. I ignored her the best I could ignore her. But after a while, it was too much. People kept looking around to see what was happening. And I said, "Just bring her up here." Well, I didn't know exactly what to do. You know, this first time for everything. I know the power of the name, just never done that before. And I thought, I'll start. And I said, "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power." I'm getting ready to stand and stand there for her, and stand without flinching and stand without moving. I said, "No, no, no." We used to sing to Ashley when she was little. She was smart early. She talked in full sentences before the rest of her group was talking two words at a time. That's the truth. And we'd take her shopping, and people would look around. They're looking up here to see who's talking. It's her, and she's way down here. And I'd sing to her. I'd say, "No, no, 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 no." My father was a 50 years of church musician, so we just sing everything. And one day she caught on, and she said, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." She couldn't even say yes. But you know what? She's not yes and me. I said no. I'm prepared to stand. She's only two. What does she know? Amen. And I'm supposed to be the protector and the keeper. And I said no. Mima said no. And when the devil comes and said, "Hath God said?" And I'd say, "I don't know that it's any business of yours." He's a bully and he tries to deceive. Now let's finish this 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight. What kind of fight is it? What kind of war is it? Good fight of what? Faith. What kind of war is it? Faith. Where's faith come from? What's the first weapon that's going to defeat the devil? Your faith in God's word. Your stand in God's word. Now, if we go back to Ephesians 6, let me read it and tell you what it does not say. I'm going to read it the world's way. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to attack the devil. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to attack in the evil day, and having done all to attack." Attack, therefore. Is that what it says? Jesus did the attacking. He did the defeating. All you're supposed to do is stand with the word. Just stand with the word. I love the little minister. He's brand new. He said, he's standing around with his Bible. He didn't know exactly what it said. He couldn't preach probably, but he just said, "I just like holding it." I do that myself, I think. I like it. Having done all, attack? No. 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 Jesus did the attacking. Having done all, how are you going to stand? With the word. Are you going to move? Well, it's not my physically I'm not going to move. What is not going to move? What is not going to move? My mind. When he comes, says, "Hath God said?" And I said, "Let me read it to you, devil. Sit. Let me read it to you." And open your Bible and read to him. Somebody said, "I can't quote like you do." I said, "Can you read?" Oh, we thank you, our Father, for helping us with our mind. We thank you. We're going to eliminate all the troubled minds. We're going to stand fast in the word. We thank you. We know where the battle is. We know how Satan operates and how he functions, coming against our mind, getting us to use our flesh and go by sight. We thank you in Jesus' name for your power, for your ability, and for your might. Thank you for winning the war so that we could stand as an occupational force. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.